Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on the New Polis Podcast. My name is Tate Fagley, and joining me is Jackson B. Archer. How are you today, Jackson?
I'm doing well, Tate. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. So what we want to talk about today is political participation, or more specifically, voting. So what I've noticed, as far as people with strong opinions regarding voting go, is that they seem to gather around one of two poles, that either it's your civic duty to vote and you don't have the right to complain if you don't vote, or, on the other end, you shouldn't vote because then you're endorsing the system itself. And personally, I've never found either of these conclusions to be very convincing. So what do you have to say about them?
Well, first of all, I think your way of dividing it up into two polar extremes is a very good way of looking at it. And of course, not everyone is gathered at one pole or the other, and they, of course, vary across different ideologies. But I think, as a general rule, that is what you see, and if you look for that, you will see that. So first off, I'd say I think that's a very good observation. And I would also say that I don't very much like either option myself. Neither pole really appeals to me very much, personally.
So what would you say to someone who says, well, you don't have the right to complain if you don't vote?
Well, I do think there is an element of truth in that, and I suppose I think there's an element of truth in each side, and that's why neither one appeals to me. But the element of truth in that particular view, I think, is that for a person, sort of the analogy that for a person who refuses to play a game, that person doesn't have a right to complain about the outcome. And there's a sense in which that analogy sort of applies. If you're thinking, like I said, with an analogy to a game or something else that requires individual participation, that seems to make sense, but I think the analogy breaks down simply because of a theme that we've stressed here before, and that's the size and really the scale of national politics today at over 300 million people. One person's vote is a tiny ounce of participation that doesn't come close to the influence we all know that that money has, the money of the special interests. So I think there, like I say, there's some truth in that, but it breaks down because of the size. So that's my take on that half of the equation.
So you're saying that in a national election, this argument has less weight, but it does, and at a certain smaller scale, it would have more weight?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And that also uncovers, by the way, I think, the element of truth in the other half, which is when you have something so big that it completely engulfs the individual because of its size and scale and doesn't allow for the particularities of real common shared way of life of actual communities, but it just engulfs and swallows those communities whole. And that's what Washington, D.C. is doing, I think, to a lot of communities, is just swallowing them whole. And so the element of truth then is that it would be a good idea to sort of boycott and resist and just sort of opt out as much as you can. And, of course, doing so nonviolently is always to be preferred. And so boycotting or just not participating seems like the first really good option you have. So that's the bit of truth in that side. But again, that sort of breaks down if you carry it all the way, because there is a sense in which I think it is meaningful and important to play a role, to sort of say, okay, here are the rules of the game. Here's what we have to deal with now. It might not be ideal, and for most people, it isn't ideal, but this is what we have. And so at some point, you have to have a practical program, and that will be what determines what happens. And so it does seem sensible to feel an obligation to participate in that, but it has to be meaningful, and that's the real kicker. And I think it really can only be meaningful at a smaller scale. So there you have my view on those two poles and how they sort of, they each capture some truth without getting the whole.
What do you do? Do you vote in national elections?
I have voted before in national elections, and I have decided that I will no longer do so, which is a difficult decision for me to come to personally, because there are a number of things I agree with in certain of Idaho's national representatives, and I sort of, I'll be honest, there's some things I sort of like about Representative Labrador, but at the same time, I think, again, he's just one of 535. He does not much he can do anyway to really get things done for Idaho. There's no way he could force them to recognize us for what we are and to respect us rather than trample on us. And if he tries, then he'll probably end up, if he really tried, he'd probably end up getting defeated in a primary or in a challenger from another party. So even though that was a difficult thing, I really do think the best way to go at this point is to just not participate. I do participate in local elections, and I am trying to become more involved that way and sort of go out of my way to educate myself on local candidates first and sort of ignore the national thing for now.
Right, very interesting that you say that, because, well, as you said that, the thought crossed my mind as, you know, a couple of days ago on October 26th, you and I participated in a protest.
That's right.
Against the NSA, and the people running this protest was the
Restore the Fourth, maybe?
Restore the Fourth Amendment of Idaho.
Apologies if we've got their name wrong.
Yes. And what I found interesting in part of their chanting was it was directed specifically just at the Idaho national senators and representatives. And I feel that, well, even if we could convince all four of these men to the merits of our argument against NSA spying, well, that's four out of 535.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, I'll agree. That was that particular bit, just that little thing, I think, which probably was, these chants, they're not the most, they have to be chosen sort of on the fly or just something that's catchy and stands out. So, I might not attribute too much. You don't want to read into it too much, to try to, find some hidden meaning. I don't think that that's really the case, but perhaps what was left out, or it seems could be left out in that case, is the possibility of local and state level resistance to these things through various measures and nullification and other things proposed by the 10th Amendment Center and so on, which I do think have a lot of merits.
Right on. Yeah, I totally agree. The problems I find with the second poll of you shouldn't vote because you're then endorsing the system. I mean, would somebody still argue that when we have the types of voting we see at the local level, where I think the last time I voted, it was regarding an increase in a levy for to support schools or something here. And I'd have a hard time seeing some person who thinks this way to say that type of voting against those types of levies endorses the system.
No, I wouldn't think so. And to sort of make a moral equivalence between a local school bond and the federal government that runs healthcare and a foreign policy of droning anybody who looks remotely like a militant in Pakistan and Yemen and everywhere else, those are two very different things. So to come up with a blanket moral statement that it's supposed to appeal across the board to both of them, I think is rather philosophically fishy.
Another thing that I wanted to talk about was that a lot of people, especially types of people who would advocate a more local role, at least a smaller role for the federal government, have really become disillusioned with political participation as a whole. So what would you say to them?
I suppose I would say, I guess if you really feel that way, there's, I guess that's okay, but I mean, there is a point at which I think it has to be really bad before you go to that step. I think that's a bit too drastic because you're in effect saying this is so backward that we feel we can do absolutely nothing. And I just don't think that's the case, because again, we haven't tried acting, resisting, if that's what you want to do, at the state or local level. And so I say, why give up on that before we've tried it, really?
And then again, that question might just be directed, or your answer might be directed just towards perhaps a minority of people. On the other hand, it seems that I see a lot of people who are exclusively focused on national elections, national politics, and even though they seemingly have no voice, they still focus most of their energies on that. And I guess I'd imagine that you would give them a similar answer as well.
Yes, yes. There are lots of people who are, I think probably the majority of American life. I mean, when the Congress's approval numbers are, I don't know, have they made it to single digits yet? They've been close to single digits for a while. Mm-hmm. They're probably a little bit higher than that, but, you know, again, I don't follow too closely. But when they're that low, I mean, that just gives you an idea of how out of touch Washington, D.C. is. So, yeah, again, I think you're right. It's puzzling that so many people can feel so disconnected from what's happening in Washington, D.C., and yet continue to focus all of their political energies on that level of government. It is time, I think, finally, when the numbers get as low as they are today, and they've been this low for a little while now, then I really think it's time to have a paradigm shift. It's time to rethink something a little more drastic, and I think that thing is the scale at which we participate. So yeah, I think that that's what I'd say to them.